Let's give our band a round of applause, the Tearjerkers. That song, oh my gosh. How am I supposed to talk after that? All right. So, good morning, everyone. Good morning. It's good to see you guys. Very excited with what God has laid on my heart to share with you all today, so we'll just dive right in. One of the biggest challenges that I found myself facing after leaving school and entering into my career, entering into the workforce, or as people say, real life, one of the biggest challenges that I faced came in the form of a question. And that question was relatively simple, but profound in how he answered it. But the question was, what do I do with my free time? Now, the reason I had this question was because during school, I was an RA, I was involved in ministry, I was involved in a lot of different organizations, and so my free time was pretty much set, was pretty much accounted for. In seminary, there were certain classes that I literally had to read a book in a week, and that was every single week. And so there was always reading to do, there was always homework to do, always essays to write. There was also people, you know, I was doing ministry down there, and I lived on the dorm with 70 guys that I was trying to mentor, that I was trying to disciple. And so there was always a crisis going on, always someone that I needed to confront or talk to or counsel. And so some nights I would come back from the library and I'd walk in and someone's having, you know, a difficult time on the couch. And so I'm talking with them. And so a lot of my time was filled up. And on those moments where I didn't have any homework and there wasn't anything going on, there's always people like 7 feet away that want to play some video games. So my free time was always accounted for. But when I moved out of Liberty, you know, when I moved on from seminary and I moved into my own place, it was a bit different. Homework was done, praise God. There is an end to that, students. There is an end to homework. Homework was done, praise God for that. And I wouldn't walk into my house and have someone that's going through something. They would still call, but after that, I would be able to hang up the phone and then have my own space. And so it was really cool and really exciting. And I was like, wow, free time. This is amazing. What on earth am I going to do with this? And so I found myself with more free time than I ever had before, and I decided to fill it with what I always filled it with, everything. So I signed up for races that were way too long, because I love running. I signed up for races that were way too long and required a ton of training. I kept up with a million friends, like trying to have a million phone calls every single day. I went to the gym more. You know, Joyce Parcell goes to the gym that I go to, so you know it's a good gym. I went to wedding after wedding because friends from Christian colleges love to get married, and so there was always a wedding pretty much every weekend. I started reading a million books because I had an ongoing list of everything I was going to read after seminary. I decided to pick up a guitar, tried to pick up singing. That didn't go too well. I started drawing again because I always enjoyed drawing, and then I had a fiction series in mind that I wanted to write, so I started writing that and a couple blog posts. I was doing a lot, and so every single night, I would go to bed absolutely exhausted. And after so many months of doing this, so much time doing this, what did I have to show for it? I had a bunch of partially read books, half-finished drawings and blog posts, mediocre race times, a plateaued lifting plan, dozens of shallow conversations because I just kept having the same conversation of life good, life's good, life's good, how's your life? Over and over again. And above all that, I was really, really frustrated with the lack of progress that I was making because I wanted to do all these things and I felt like I wasn't doing them well. Now, why? Why was I frustrated? Well, there are many reasons, and we could dissect that for a long, long time, but just to kind of concise it up, you know, there's many sayings out there. One of them is, when you try to be a jack of all trades, you end up being a master of? Absolutely. And multitasking is not doing everything well, it's just doing a ton of things poorly. And so if you're like me, you might find yourself in this predicament from time to time, where you find yourself being pulled in a million different directions. There's a bunch of projects you want to do, and you feel like you've got a bunch of plates spinning, and you're just trying to keep up with it, and you're going to bed exhausted. I know this because I experienced this, and I'm a single man with no children. And so I don't have practices to go to. I don't have games to go to. I don't have, you know, recitals or places or friends' places to drive through or things like that. You know, parents, I'm sure people with families, you guys have a lot on your plate. And it's very easy to get pulled into a million different directions and find yourself quite burnt out. It's in the midst of this chaos that we see how important it is to have a clear direction in life, a clear vision of where you're going. Because when you know where you're going and what you need to do to get there, things become a lot more clear. When we know where we're going, when we have a clear vision for your life, a clear direction for your life, it helps us to say yes to the right things and no to the right things. When we have a clear vision, the yeses and nos fall into place because everything either helps you or hinders you from reaching your vision. Our church has a vision statement. I don't know if you guys knew this, but our Pastor Josh talks about it a fair amount, as he should. It's very important to keep coming back to vision and keep coming back to mission. And our church's vision is engaging in the mission of God to seek and save the lost. Engaging in the mission of God to seek and save the lost. Now, this has been explained before, and it will be explained again. But the thing about having a vision statement is that it informs every single thing that we do. Every move we make in this church, every ministry we start, every decision that we make, it's filtered through the question, does this help us engage in the mission of God? This is important to talk about because as a church, we're about to make a big leap into a new space that God has provided for us to worship. Now, this is a miracle. This is unbelievable what God has done in providing us this new space to worship. It allows us to grow. It allows us to do new things, and it should be celebrated. God deserves all the glory for it because it's an absolute miracle that this happened. In fact, whenever I tell people that don't know everything that was going on in our church, whenever I tell people that Ridley Park Baptist Church, by the grace of God, decided to give us their building, this is how they respond. What exactly? It's like how I responded when I found out Kanye West is a Christian now and he did a gospel album. So only God can explain those types of things. And so there's work to be done. And we know that. That's what the entire last series was about. There is work to be done. And in many ways, this can be daunting because we look at a large list of things. But we walk forward knowing that God will provide because he has provided in the past. We know what we need to do and we're organizing people to do it. And I believe that God will see this work done, and I believe that we as a church are going to step up and see this thing finished. Which means that one of the most important things that we should be doing right now is to not let this distract us from our mission. We cannot let this distract us from our mission. Just like in life, it can be very easy for a church to get distracted. The new building is amazing, and it is obvious that God is working in it, and it is really incredible, but we must remember that it is only an avenue through which our church will engage in the mission of God. That new building is an avenue through which we will engage in the mission of God, kind of our home base, and we're grateful for that. But the moment we lose sight of that and we make it more than it is, we become a lost church, which Pastor Josh talked about before. So Pastor Josh said last week that with the new building, many people will ask if we are pulling back in certain areas of ministry. You know, are we not going to support as many missionaries? Are we not going to do as many mission trips? Are we going to cut some funding to certain ministries that we're doing? Are we not going to do as many small groups? You know, what's happening to youth group, things like that? A lot of questions come up. You know, are we pulling back in areas of ministry? And the answer, of course, is no. Because if we cannot afford to do this, if we cannot do this without pulling back from engaging in the mission of God, then we can't afford to do this. Because that's our mission, and we want to remain on that mission. So we're going to keep our ministries, we're going to keep our Samaritan's Purse trip, and we'll continue to go to Kenya. So Kenya is what we're talking about today. And whenever we talk about Kenya, we always answer this question every single year because it's important to come back to. Why are we doing this? Why did we say yes to Kenya? Why are we sending people from southern Delaware County all the way across the globe to help out with a ministry in Kenya? Well, a short answer is because it helps us to engage in the mission of God. But that bears the question, what is the mission of God? We've talked about this before. A huge part of it is seeing the gospel go forth, letting people know, letting every man, woman, and child in this area that we've kind of put a stake in the ground in, letting the 60,000 people here know that God loves them so much so that he sent his son Jesus to die for their sins and rise again from the grave. And if we turn from our sins to have faith in him and follow him, we're going to receive forgiveness for our sins, eternal life, and a relationship with God. We want to need people to know that good news, to know that gospel. But there's more to that mission, because a huge part of that mission of God is not just telling people about the love of God, but also showing the love of God. And that shows up in this passage that we have today. So open up with your Bibles to me or look at the bulletin with us. We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 20 or 31. I'm going to take a moment to pray for God's help as we look at his word today. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we love you and we're grateful for the mission that you give us. We're grateful that you give us purpose in our lives. And so I pray that you help us to understand why you have called us to Kenya, why we are doing what we're doing, and that we walk out of here with clarity of mission. Please guide us today and speak to us in your word. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. So a portion of what you have in the bulletin is from a larger passage where Jesus is talking about the final judgment. Always a fun thing to talk about. He was a popular guy. And so he's talking about the end of days, the end of life, where everyone's going to stand before God and they're going to be separated. And so people that chose to follow Christ will go one way, and people that chose to not follow Christ and accept his salvation will go another way. And so we pick up there with what he's talking about in verse 31. He says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory," Son of Man being Jesus, "and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will answer to them, 'Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me.'" Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to go a little off script here. I love this passage so much because outside of a biblical worldview, there is no reason to care for the poor and downtrodden. There is no real reason to care for those that care for the least of these, care for the poorest of the poor, care for people that are thirsty, care for people that are hungry. If you have a naturalistic worldview of survival of the fittest, then there's no reason that we should care for people. Like some other religions kind of have some things of like, oh, maybe karma, and if you do good things, then you get good things. And so there's kind of a philosophy there. But ultimately, there is so much good that has been done in this world because of this passage. And God deserves glory for that. And we praise God for that. So, the big thing that I want us to see in this passage is that this is what Jesus looks for in his followers. Feeding the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, visiting the sick and in prison, doing all those things that he talks about in that passage are what he expects and looks for in his followers. Caring for the people with the greatest needs in the world. This is a huge part of the mission of God and a huge part of why we said yes to Kenya. There are other sermons where Pastor Josh goes into more detail about, you know, the story of how we got involved in Kenya, how God brought that need in front of us, but I'm not going to go too much into that today. But for those of you that know us, what you need to know is that God brought this need in front of our path. We had the resources and needs to meet it, and so we chose to meet it. For those of you that are new with us, I think it is important to know the work that we do in Kenya. So I'm going to take a few moments to talk about that. The work we do is with an organization called Start With One Kenya. And it's run by two amazing Christ followers named Bill and Chad Coble. They're a married couple, and they've dedicated their lives to helping the poorest of the poor in Kenya. And so their name, Start With One Kenya, for the organization, comes from this Mother Teresa quote where it says, "If you cannot feed 100 people, start with just one." If you cannot feed 100 people, start with just one. Dang, Mama T. That's some good stuff. There's like 30 sermons packed into there, but we need to focus, so I'm not going to talk too much about that. I'll just let the Holy Spirit do what it does there. So what do they do? What do we help them with? One of the main things that they do is they distribute water filters to people that don't have access to clean water. There are many issues in the world, and clean water is one of the biggest issues in the world today. Every week, 42,000 people die as a result of waterborne illness, so from drinking dirty water. And 80% of those 42,000 are children under 5 years old. 80% of those 42,000 that die every week are children under 5 years old. The World Health Organization says that waterborne diseases are the world's leading killer and that 3.4 million die as a result each year. The heartbreaking but also hopeful thing about this problem is that there is a solution. We know how to fix the clean water crisis. This is something that we can do something about. And so the World Health Organization explains that almost one-tenth of the global disease burden can be prevented by increasing access to safe drinking water, improving sanitation and hygiene, and improving water management, all of which Start With One strives to improve in Kenya. This problem has been tackled in many ways, but our friends at Start With One, they have decided to tackle it through water filters. The reason being, some people do wells, they chose to do water filters because it's very convenient for people. You can have the water filtration system in your home. We usually have a thing set up in the back there of the what the water filter looks like, but basically it's about this big, and there's a tiny piece of plastic that is the water filter that filters out all the dirty water. So they can go to the normal streams that they go to that they're usually getting sick from, and they can put it into the water filtration system, and they can drink it and not be worried about any diseases. That is amazing technology, because what they have there with their water filters is that this tiny piece of plastic can eliminate 99.99999999999. Reminds me of German class. 999% of any bacteria, which means people are able to have that in their own homes and drink clean water without worrying about getting sick. It's huge peace of mind and things that we don't even have to worry about here. And so that eliminates the diseases, and other people drill wells, like I said earlier. But the reason that Swak does water filters, again, is for the convenience, like I mentioned, but also because a lot of people are creatures of habit. And let's say they've got a sturdy stream 2 miles away, but there's a well 6 miles away. They're going to keep going back to that stream, and unfortunately, that doesn't solve the issue. And so if we're able to give them to the convenience of having the water filtration system in their own home and give them the ability to know how to use it, then they're taken care of. And the amazing thing about distributing these water filters is that they have this elaborate system that I cannot understand because I'm not detail-oriented. My detail diva, Mitty, knows that. She takes care of things, youth group. Appreciate it. Quick shout out there. But yeah, so they have an amazing system where they have leaders within the local, like within the local authorities and within the local tribes that take care of people. If they have an issue, they go to their local leader. They know who to go to, and the issue is fixed by them. And so there's amazing things that are happening, and it allows them to have follow-up. We know, because they've been doing this for years, how this changes communities. People are less sick, so they're spending less money on doctors. They're able to make more money because they're able to work more because they're not sick. Even businesses are affected by this. I remember this one guy, he was a barber, and he told me that him having a Uzima water filter in his barbershop was incredible for business because people came just for the drinking water. So we're seeing amazing things happen because of these water filters getting into the hands of the indigenous people, and it's really incredible to see. And so through these water filters, Start With One is caring for people that Jesus tells us to care about. They are giving water to the thirsty. And so this is what Jesus looks for in his followers, and this is engaging in the mission of God. The other primary focus of Start With One is education. I know we have a lot of educators in this room, and so you already know the value of education, but there have been a lot of studies that have been done on the aid, kind of giving world aid. And one of the biggest themes that you see through all the books written, all the blog posts, and all the TED Talks is that we don't want people to become dependent upon aid. We want them to become self-sustaining so that way they get to a point one day where they are able to help others. And so we want to see that for Kenya. And we don't want to see them become dependent. And so through education, they seek to do that. One of the ways they seek to break the cycle of poverty is through this education. And part of that is educating people on her personal hygiene. Whenever we go over there, if you've been to Kenya before, you know a huge part of the presentation is not just how to use the water filter, but also just proper fundamental hygiene procedures. Learning how to wash your hands correctly. Seeing how diseases spread through water and through different things like sneezing and shaking hands. This may, again, seem like things that we learn when we're young, but like not everyone knows these things in the world. And so diseases are being spread just because of not knowing personal hygiene things. And so we get the opportunity to teach that and to educate that, which again affects the community in amazing ways. They also run a primary school in Kenya called Gichiwamba. It's a really beautiful place. Well, it's in Gichiwamba. It's a really beautiful place if you've ever been. If you follow me on Instagram, I posted a bunch of stories with the kids running around saying, "Hello, Hope." Super adorable. Amazing, amazing thing. And we've seen this school grow and grow over the years. My first time that I went, I believe, was 4 years ago. And while we were there, we laid the floor for a kitchen for the students to have because they realized that a lot of kids weren't coming to school because they didn't have any food to eat. And so they started a feeding program, which our church supports. They started a feeding program that gives them a lunch every single day, which makes them come to school. Attendance, the first time they started the feeding program, went from about like 50% to 200% or something crazy like that. They had more people show up than they were enrolled. And so the feeding program is amazing. So we laid the foundation for that. And when we went back last year, that kitchen and cafeteria area now has walls with beautiful murals painted on it. They have seats for all the children, and they have an amazing, amazing kitchen area with a bunch of places for the cooks to work. So it's really incredible to see how the Lord has been working there and how they have been tirelessly working there. And there's many things that I could say about the school at Getchawamba, but I'll share one of my favorite stories. Last year when we were there, I think we were laying the floor, cement floor in one of the schools, and I was going outside to get some more cement, and I passed by the window of one of the classrooms, and I heard them reciting something. And so I listened in, and I heard them, and what they were saying was, it was the teacher and the students together, what they were saying was, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that he rose from the dead, you will be saved. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that he rose from the dead, you will be saved. That's Romans 10, 9 through 10, one of the necessary scriptures to know if you want to be saved, which means that the people at the school of Getchawamba are not only caring for the minds and seeing them be able to get good jobs later on, but they're also caring for their souls. This is what Jesus wants us to do. This is engaging in the mission of God. And so another way that they support education in Kenya is through sponsoring children. A lot of people in this room sponsor children in Kenya. And the reason that you do sponsor them is because you've gone over there and you've seen them. And so people in Southern Delaware County care about kids in Kenya and sponsor kids in Kenya. That is incredible. And so for a small fee, they're able to sponsor children. What this gives them is medical checkups, educational assistance. You pay for their books, their uniforms, their school fees are taken care of. But more importantly, there's a relationship. They really, really encourage letters to be written between the sponsor child and the sponsor. And man, it is amazing to see them receive those gifts and receive those letters. They appreciate it so, so much. On the past trip, we were able to see some sponsored children of some of the team. And we should not devalue the effect that these meetings have on these children. Because can you imagine being a kid and have someone fly halfway across the world to come see you, to give you gifts, to see how you're doing, and to let you know that Jesus loves you? That does amazing things to those children. And it lets them know that Jesus loves them. And this is one of the great things that Jesus does in those moments, and this is engaging in the mission of God. Now, with all the great work that Start With One does, and we are able to do by going over there, there are a lot of criticisms. There's some criticisms that come up and some questions that are asked, and that's important. It's important to be scrutinized things and to make sure that things are going well. So it's we welcome the criticism, and we try to respond to it as best as we can. And so just want to respond to a few of those things. A lot of people ask, like they ask these questions about when they hear that we're going to Kenya as a church. Many people ask, what about needs here? Shouldn't we be caring for people in our community? And don't you do anything here? Doesn't your church do anything here? And the answer, of course, is yes, we should, and yes, we do. You know, Samaritan's Purse is our domestic trip, and we wanted a domestic trip, a place to care about the United States. And so we've gone to Texas already. We've gone to North Carolina, and God knows where we're going this year, but we're very excited to go. And so we care for domestically. We care for the United States because there's natural disasters that happen here, and we want to be boots on the ground that care for them. We also care for this community. If you look in your bulletins, you will see a thing labeled service opportunities that we have filled with things every single week. Those are not just words on a page, and those are not just boxes over there. Those go to people in need in our community. They feed the hungry, and they clothe the naked. Exactly what Jesus wants us to do. And so we want to do that in our community here, but Jesus also wants us to go outside of our comfort zone and outside of our own communities. Another huge thing is the community support team. Let's give them a round of applause. I love our community support team. Our community support team does amazing things behind the scenes. A lot of people don't even see it, but they do amazing things where they give care packages to people within our church and within our community going through difficult things. They run meal trains for people that are going through a difficult time. And again, that's another way in which we are caring for people in our community. Because that's exactly what Jesus wants us to do. We care for our community because of Jesus, but we also go to Kenya because of Jesus, because he wants us to take our eyes off of ourselves by going and caring for the poorest of the poor and caring for the people with the greatest needs. And so through going to Kenya, Jesus also transforms us, and he brings us back to serve Delco in later ways. So it's kind of a paradoxical idea where we go over there to serve, but then we end up having really transformative experiences over there by the power of the Holy Spirit, and then we come back here to serve even greater ways in Delco. And so Delco is served by us going to Kenya. Another common criticism is it worth the cost? It costs $3,000 per person to send someone over to Kenya. That's a lot of money. There's no getting around to that. That is a lot of money. But time after time, God provides. And we have seen him move the money from where it is to where it needs to be. And every single year, we've been able to go and send our team over. So God provides. But is it worth the cost? Unfortunately, it's kind of a subjective question. So many people can answer that different ways depending upon what they value. So I can't answer it for individuals. but I can answer it for our church. I've seen the faces, we've seen the faces of the sponsored children that we sponsor, receiving letters and gifts from their sponsors. We have seen them surprised when sponsors show up at their schools. We have seen them dedicating their lives to fighting for a better future through education because someone from Delaware County, Pennsylvania invested in them. We have seen lives changed because of our going, and we believe that's worth the cost. One year when we went to Kenya, we distributed 1,000 water filters in a single day. 1,000 water filters. That's crazy. That means that 1,000 families' lives were changed that day. 1,000 families, if they take care of their water filter and they use their water filter, will never have to worry about waterborne diseases ever again. And that was a single day. And we do that multiple days while we're in Kenya. I remember Bill Coble always tells the story of this woman coming up to him during one of these distributions, and she's crying, she's weeping, and she comes up to him and she thanks him because she has had 5 children die because of waterborne diseases. And she says, because of this water filter, I will never have to bury another child. We believe that's worth the cost. That's worth the cost. Before I conclude, I want to share something that was shared with me when I was entering into ministry. If you want to avoid criticism, do nothing. If you want to avoid criticism, do nothing. Anytime you enter the arena, wherever that arena is, anytime you try and make a difference somewhere, you will receive criticism. And it can be tempting to be the critic sometimes because it's easier than being the one that's actually in the arena, which is why I love being a part of a church that cares about, that errs on the side of action rather than criticism and is always asking questions that help us to engage in the mission of God and is always so quick to step up to engage in the mission of God. There was a situation that came up in our church recently, and it was a very gray situation, not really quite sure how to handle it, you know how most situations in life are. And so it was very complex, a lot of layers going on, and one person came up to Pastor Josh and asked this question. They said, how do we shine the light of Christ in this situation? That's the right question to be asking. Why? Because those are the questions that are going to keep us on mission. Keep us engaging in the mission of God. With new buildings, new opportunities will present new problems. And it can be very easy to get distracted from what's important. But Jesus tells us in this passage and in many others what is eternally important, what the only eyes in the universe are looking for, that matter, are looking for. God has placed this need, this Kenya need, this Start With One Kenya. He has placed this need in our path. He did it many years ago, and he has given us the resources over and over again to meet it. So we plan on continuing to meet it. So why are we doing this? Because it engages in the mission of God. And that is the type of church we are and the type of church we will always strive to be. And it's a privilege to engage in the mission of God with so many incredible Christ followers. Thank you for letting me be a part of it. If you're interested in signing up for this year's team, we don't have any dates to give out just yet. Those will be coming in the coming months. But if you're interested at all, we have a sign-up sheet at the welcome table. If you just want to hear more about it, we'll have an interest meeting where we talk more about the nitty-gritty details of what it looks like to be there on the ground in Kenya. But if you're interested at all, I encourage you to sign up. It's not a commitment. You're not saying that you're going. You're not saying that you're ready to raise $3,000. It is just letting me know that you're interested. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you, and we're grateful for you. And we know that you have given us a mission, and we want to do as much as we can to engage in this mission. So I pray that you help us to make a difference. I pray not only in this community, but in the world. You guide us through so many different avenues and so many different things, and I just pray that you continue to provide as we already do and help us to walk out in faith. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.